second to get connected here. All right. I would like to call the meeting of the Application Review Committee to order. Today's date is March 28th, 2025. The time is 7:33 a.m. The purpose of this meeting is to substantially review the psychologist applications listed on the agenda for today. Kathy, could you please call roll call?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Flint?
Present.
Dr. Medina?
Present.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. All right, we are going to jump right into this very hefty agenda. Thank you to Kathy in particular and all the staff for getting all of this together. This might be an award winner. I don't know. Dr. Medina?
I was wondering, I'm like, I think my bro this is my last meeting in this rotation. So I'm like, huh. I
That's
wanna make sure I
amazing.
go with a bang.
Well,
I kept reviewing applications. I'm like, oh, how many more?
we will get working through them. So the first section are those applicants requesting approval to sit for the ECPP only. So I will get us started, Dr. Medina. First applicant A1 is Dr. Lancaster. I apologize for looking this way. That's where my notes are. They received their doctoral degree in clinical psychology from APA accredited NAU, noted to be on 9/6/24 by their self-report. There's a discrepancy in that the date entered on the application of the official transcript late lists the date of conferral as 10/18/24. Declaration and attestation questions were completed with an answer of yes to a plea agreement in the past. This was back in 2012, and it appears from the documentation that the applicant took care of all related court-ordered requirements by February 6 of 2013, and there have been no other incidents per her report since that time. We do have two references, a self-query, and a fingerprint card was submitted. Internship through Southwest Behavioral Health and Services. And that part looks all in order. Dr. Medina, do you have any concerns about this application?
No concerns. Look, everything appears in order to me.
Excellent. We will move on. Would you do A2, please, ma'am?
Yes, certainly, Madam Chair. Dr. Menenet, I apologize if I am mispronouncing it. Received her doctorate in clinical psychology from Walden University, which is regionally accredited. Completed an internship at the Seren Center, 2,027 hours between February 2024 and February 2025. The hours do meet the requirements needed in terms of direct hours and hours of for supervision. They also submitted pre-internship hours from the same place. This person holds an LPC license in the state of Arizona since 2023. It's in good standing. References, fingerprint clearance card, and self-query were submitted. It looks like everything meets the requirements. I do not have any concerns about this application, Dr. Flint.
I did have
Sorry.
a couple of
Okay.
questions. The core program requirements page, the applicant wrote in two different sections classes that were taken at GCU, which we do have the transcript for. However, there's a mismatch in the dates. Spring of 18 versus fall of 19, those kind of things. So that core requirement page in those two sections where there was transferred in scores don't match and they're not correct. And when I did the and my math is always challenged, so please correct me. When I take the 101 hours of supervision, 1 to 1, and divide that by 20, I get that she should have had 103.6. So that would be 2.6 hours short on those individual supervision hours. Would somebody on the committee please double check my math that it's mapping?
I had it as, hold on, let me check, because I had it 104. Oh, you know what? I am sorry.
Did I mistype it?
I do have a note about that. I didn't highlight it. I have my own little system here. You are correct. There were 100, she should have had 104 hours of supervision, and there were only 101 hours submitted for 2,027 hours of internship. There was a shortage of individual supervision. Correct.
Okay. And then on, and this might be something that we clarify or not, but there was a pretty significant discrepancies on the internship verification forms, the Walden internship form, the first reference from Dr. Jacobson, and then the second reference from Dr. Sarin, all gave different dates for the internship. They're off slightly. I'm not sure if that's enough to request that that be completed and be accurate. But at least right now, I think, and if Dr. Medina, you agree, a fair letter is appropriate to resubmit the core program requirements with the accurate designation and course numbers and the semester that corresponds with the transcripts. Resubmit the hours verification, ensuring that there is 1 hour for every 20 hours worked of the individual supervision. And if not, are there other hours that want to be submitted? And then what do you think about those internship verification forms and the references kind of having dates that are different on each form?
Yeah, they probably should match. Are they different? I didn't notice the dates.
Madam Chair, so, committee members,
yes.
If I may.
Yes.
One of the things that internship hour, any supervised professional experience hours that are being submitted or they're being applied towards licensure, they can differ from the actual hours of an experience. They don't have to submit exact hours for the entire experience. They can submit a portion or a subset. And so the dates on the verification forms can differ as long as the hours being submitted are correct or are continuous from start date to end date. Okay. They are allowed to submit a portion that they are applying towards licensure.
Okay. So then maybe Dr. Medina, those date discrepancies aren't as critical.
Yes, I do think the, and I am looking, I do think that the supervision, the individual supervision hours are short.
Yep.
So either the time that is being applied can be, you know, adjusted so that they meet criteria, so the fair letter still applies then for that.
And do you agree also asking for a new core program requirements page?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I actually had a typo in my notes because I had 2027, but it's actually 2072, which makes the shortage even a little bit higher, because for 2072 hours, yeah, you should have
103.
I had the 104. Yeah, that's when I just had the numbers transposed. So there should be 104. So either submit less hours to apply towards licensure so that the 101 meets the criteria.
And I'm so sorry, Dr. Mehenet, did I?
Yes, it's Menhenet.
Menhenet, okay.
Yeah, you guys are close.
I apologize that I didn't see you here. I wasn't processing that piece. Do you understand kind of the questions that we've discussed through? Are there any additional pieces of information that you think would be important for us to know?
Yes, just two questions. So first one, for the core requirements, I was a little bit confused, and I did add just two classes to just show that I did take classes that were what you guys were describing. Uh-huh. But I believe what you guys want is my GCU, some of them transferred. So, so just put the description and the correct course numbers that qualify for those classes.
And that was in the research method and statistics category and the individual differences category.
Yes.
The others matched up.
Okay, perfect. And then for the hours, I do know I am short. So I am going to make that up for post-grad or postdoctoral hours, which I know was to be what could be applied. And it's just 99 hours. So I am going to get more supervision as well.
Madam Chair, committee members, I think that's my fault. She is in the EPPP only category.
Yes.
And I think I threw you off by including the pre-internship. And apparently I shouldn't have.
So for the category, which is to take the EPPP only, I think it's, we don't need those.
Right. But we still need to correct the core program requirements form.
Okay. And the intern with the dates for the internship hours that she wants to use or not really?
Well, that's the one that she's applying a set of hours that may or may not match perfectly with the actual full scope of her SBE. It's these are the hours she's applying towards licensure.
Yeah, but that's the one that she's short in supervision and individual supervision.
Her internship? I didn't catch that. I thought it was pre.
Yeah, it's in the internship because she's submitting 2072 and there are only 101 hours of individual supervision.
Okay, so that was my misunderstanding. Okay, so fair letter is core program requirements and internship correction on what she's submitting for hours. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. Let me just make some notes so we try and keep all our motions going in the right direction today. All right. So the third, thank you, Dr. Mahed, for being here.
Thank you so much. Time. And so I just have to make that core requirement correction and then I can sit for the EPPP.
Go ahead, Kathy.
I'm sorry. I'm jumping in. I apologize. Okay. Committee Chair, Dr. Manhattan, the way it works is the application review committee makes, right now they're requesting additional information and it's a formal request for additional information. It's called a FAIR, formal additional information request is the full name of it. So what will happen is a letter will be emailed to you within the next week and it will include the details of what the committee is requesting. And then if we receive those corrections within a certain deadline, which will be in the letter, your application will come back to the application review committee for another substantive review of the application and the additional materials you submitted.
Okay.
So, but I'll email you after the meeting is over and give you a little more detail.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Excellent. Thank you, Kathy, for that. Our third applicant in the EPPP only category is Dr. Amanda Emerson. And I'd just like to stop for one quick second. This is our first doctoral student applying in this newly expanded category to allow early entry into the EPPP. So yay, this is very, very exciting to see.
It is very exciting. I saw that.
So congratulations on being the first. And Ms. Emerson is a student at the APA-accredited NAU. She's presently on internship at Northern Arizona VA Healthcare System. A confirmation letter was received from the department chair verifying that coursework and dissertation are complete. Declaration and attestation questions were completed. There is a current fingerprint clearance card on file. Current. Mm-hmm. No, it just expired on the 22nd, but a receipt for renewal was also included. And I believe that checks off all the boxes for her to be able to be our very first early entry to the EPPP student. So yay, everyone, for making that happen.
Yay.
Do you have any concerns, Dr. Medina, on that?
I do not.
Perfect. Would you take A4, please?
Sure. The fourth one is for Dr. Capiello Rosario, and she received her counseling psychology doctoral degree from the University of Georgia, which is APA accredited. completed her internship at Florida International University Counseling and Psychological Services in August of 2016, which was also APA accredited. References and self-query were submitted, and all appears in order with this application. Dr. Flint, I don't know if you have any concerns.
There's a tiny date discrepancy as well, but that could be exactly the issue we talked about on that previous application. So I think we are actually good. That was my only note on that one.
And it's EPPP only. So
accurate. Yeah. Okay. So for this first section, I would like to motion to move forward to the board with the recommendation to sit approval to sit for the EPPP for A1 Lancaster, A3 Emerson, and A4 Rosario. And then for A2, we're issuing a fair letter for updated core requirements and the internship hour correction as well.
Mm-hmm. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Second section, requesting approval to sit for EPPP and licensure. The first one in this section is Dr. Jen Carelli. I hope I said that right. I'm looking at our participants and I don't see her. She received her doctoral degree in clinical health psychology on 12/15/23 from APA-accredited East Carolina University. There were two references and a self-query. An application for the fingerprint card was also there. We are working with pre-internship hours that appear to meet all the appropriate criterion for direct hours and supervision, as well as 2080 internship hours from APA-accredited Phoenix VA healthcare system. I didn't have any concerns on this application, Dr. Medina.
Yeah, no concerns.
All right. Would you take the next one, please?
Sure. the next one is for Dr. Shonta Hemingway, and this is the second reapplication. Dr. Hemingway took the EPPP in January and September of 2024, but was unable to obtain a passing score. So they're reapplying to take the EPPP. They have, Dr. Hemingway has the doctoral degree from Walden University and received that in December 2023. Dr. Hemingway holds an LPC and a certified alcohol and drug counselor and a qualified mental health professional licenses, all from Oregon. And also reported an expired master's addiction counseling license from Virginia. Now, if I understand correctly, in the most recent application, Dr. Hemingway disclosed a disciplinary action in receiving a fine for using clinical psychologists unlicensed by the state of Oregon. The two references and self-query were submitted. And that concludes my summary of this case. It's my understanding that this fine was reported in the last application, because I think from when it happened, and Kathy can correct me I misread that, and that was already reviewed before.
That is correct. Dr. Medina, it was already reviewed previously.
Okay, then never mind. I got it.
Excellent. I didn't see anything other than exactly what you mentioned.
Okay. Yeah. So then that's okay. I mean, I don't see any, I think it can move forward with the reapplication.
Excellent. I agree.
I don't have concerns. The self-query was submitted, the two references as well.
Excellent. Moving on to B3 in this category, Dr. Fairchild, she received a degree in school psychology from APA-accredited University of Arizona on August 19th, 2023. There are two references and a self-query form in the packet. Fingerprint clearance card was included. We have pre-internship hours from two sites, And then we also have APA accredited internship hours from Hawaii Consortium for 2023 hours. Now, again, checking my math, I don't believe we have reached the 3,000 hours required for the licensure portion. Dr. Medina, did you have the same concern? And I'm just rerunning my numbers very quickly as
I
I'm.
am adding because I typically do. I thought I had added the numbers, but I'm re-adding them. Yeah, it's
Oh, is
3,068.
it? I added the wrong column.
I
That's
know.
why. Thank you. Okay. So
So
we're
I
good with
think I
hours.
remember adding it, and I'm thinking, well, I don't have it marked, so it must have added. So
I
no
was
worries.
just testing you, Dr. Medina.
That's right. My math skills
Okay.
have
I
this
apologize. I
art.
was
Yes.
literally doing the wrong column. All right. I did not have any concerns, now that we've clarified my addition problems. Dr. Medina, did you see anything else?
No. No concerns.
Are you Miss Saper? Are you motioning to us for our attention, or what's happening? Okay. All right.
No
So
concerns.
before Dr. Medina, would you take that?
Yes. The next application is for Dr. Rosalba Mata. And this is an application for a sixth attempt at the ERPP. The last attempt was in April 2024, but unfortunately, Dr. Mata was not able to obtain a passing score. Dr. Mata obtained a doctorate in clinical psychology from Walden University in 2016. Dr. Mata submitted a study plan. As far as the packet itself, it had everything. I believe Dr. Mata is in attendance with us today.
Dr. Mata, are you able to come on camera and
Ma'am.
Mary? Hi.
Oh.
Are you driving at the moment, ma'am?
Madam Chair, I'm asking her to unmute. I'm using the system prompt.
I'm just concerned because it appeared that she was driving, and I don't
Yes.
want to participate in unsafe
Yes.
if
Right.
she's
Maybe
driving.
we should come back to the this
Yes.
one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
Sorry,
wait.
no,
Now
I
she
was
can.
I'm no, yeah, I'm parked.
Oh, okay.
I'm just having trouble getting this back on. Sorry.
Oh, there you are. Hello,
I
Dr.
was
Mata.
taking my daughter earlier to school and I didn't want to miss the meeting.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. Thank you for that clarification. Dr. Medina, did you have anything else in your overview that you wanted to share?
No, not on the overview. I just wanted to ask Dr. Mata. Well, thank you for being here, Dr. Mata. I just, wanted to ask what are you planning on doing differently this time around?
Yeah, that was a big thing for me too. I feel like the last two attempts, I was really under a high amount of pressure because my entire employment was based on having to pass the exam. So I didn't really feel like I was 100% prepared in my last two attempts, but I had to take it or I was going to be unemployed and I really needed to stay employed. One of the things that I noticed is that I was having a hard time understanding in some of the questions, the way they were worded is an understanding exactly what it was asking for and how to apply all of the knowledge over so many years to answering a certain question. So one thing that I've changed for this study time around is that I'm not just using one system to study. I'm using several, including two new apps that were available. And I'm doing much more test taking. So I'm studying more of the questions. I'm, using longer periods of time to actually just work on test taking. So, I've incorporated, hour sessions and then 4-hour sessions so that I can actually sit down and have a better understanding of just sitting for the long period of time and then being able to go through the process of taking the questions. So that's one thing I've incorporated. The other thing is I've added a different type of study group, where every Tuesday I'm just kind of coming together with another person who's taking, you know, or studying for exam. And we just kind of sit and process and help each other maybe understand the types of questions, how they're asking, how we can relate it back to the material. I've also tried to understand like different keywords that are applying to like maybe different theories or different ways of processing things, because there's so many that I was overthinking the questions and then adding to the question in my mind instead of just reading the plain question. So there was a lot of things kind of going on with my studying that I feel like I've become more aware of. And honestly, I'm not wanting to take these tests anymore. Like, I just want to pass. And so right now I am fully immersed in just the study process. So unfortunately, I did have to leave my position because I wasn't able to pass the last exam. And so it's been kind of a mixed blessing, because on the one hand, I have more time now to actually process and to study and to get things done versus having to do that while working. But I'm still doing a little bit of contract work with my supervisor so that I'm not out of the loop completely. And I'm still working with her and she's helping me to maybe see the material in a little bit different way as well. So she's been fantastic, Dr. Kyoto. So, I mean, I'm trying different things and I expect a different result. And I hope that this is the last time I have to take this. I'm like, I did so well throughout my entire education. I don't understand why I'm so stumped on this one exam. So,
yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you for this.
This will be it, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yes. Oh gosh, yes.
Yeah. Dr. Mata, I just want to second your my thankfulness for you being here, because I think your explanation of what was doing differently was exactly hitting on one of my concerns, is that the as written, that plan kind of seemed like a repeat for the most part of exactly what you had done before. So I'm glad to hear you've added those other things in.
Yeah,
and just so that you are aware as well, and this is not anything that is specifically recommended, I'm just giving you some resources that are out there. There are some specific EPPP tutoring type organizations. One is run by Dr. David Strassenhofer, and it looks at test taking, not just knowing the answers. And it sounds like you've hit on that as maybe of one of your understanding the question and kind of processing and moving forward. So I'm really glad to hear that you're adding that in. There are some other resources out there if you're interested in that. And also I noticed that you were using at one point ATABS, and they also have some live tutoring. So just wanted to get on the record that there are some other resources just in case those might be helpful to you. And hopefully this will be the very last time you have to look at this test.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I really hope so. I'm ready to just take that next step and just move forward.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here. Dr. Medina, we've kind of done a couple different things in the past. When a certain number of retakes have happened, sometimes it goes to the board and other times it hasn't. What is your preference? I'm okay not, but...
Yeah, I think we did a lot of the discussion here that would take place in the, you know, board meeting. Heidi, what I'm sorry to call on you, but what is your recollection of the, is there a number that after a certain number, it does go to the full board?
No, not necessarily. It's really a factor of, you know, the comfort level of ARC. And, you know, it's this committee's prerogative essentially to determine, you know, does this necessitate full board review or not? So I believe you have quite a bit of discretion and latitude here.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I'm okay with approving it for another, for sitting again for the EPPP. I think we've completed a lot of the discussion that would take place during the full board meeting.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Medina. The fifth application in this section is Dr. Caminos. I'm just looking to see if I see her present. I do not. They received their doctoral degree from Walden University on May 12th, 2024. The declaration and attestation questions were completed. Two references and a self-query were received. The hours for pre-internship at Arizona Forensics, on page 20 of 54 of our packet, the signing official clarifying those hours said on that hour submission form that the training plan did not meet the requirements. On page 28, number five, I found that the total hours allotted to each task were also not evident, and they checkmarked that it didn't meet those criterion. And then on the internship verification, unfortunately, there was also a note on the hours that there were not two staff psychologists, which is, mm-hmm. of course, a requirement to count the internship hours.
Mm-hmm.
Postdoc hours were also done at Arizona Forensics. That does not have the two staff psychologists requirement. Please, Kathy, if I'm incorrect about that, feel free to correct me.
Madam Chair, committee members, the postdoctoral, is that what you're referring to, the postdoc?
Yes.
It does, the statute requirement for two staff psychologists is not in place. It's for the internship only.
Okay, so we can count those 300 hours. Those appear to be usable, so to speak. And then the other two sites, though, have some pretty significant deficiencies that I'm not sure, Dr. Medina, your thoughts on, I'm not sure a fair letter is going to change either one of those deficiencies.
Correct. I also have marked here that the postdoc experience on page 48, 25% of the supervision submitted is individual, when I believe the requirement is 1 hour for every 20. So
there's actually deficiency in all three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is your suggestion, Dr. Medina? Do we offer an option to withdraw the application? Do we do a fair letter? What would be? I see Heidi or Ms. Pakkinen popping in a very timely manner to share with us, I'm sure.
So I understand the quandary here. I think that a fair would afford, you know, an opportunity to maybe correct what could be incorrect or clarify something. I mean, it may yield the same exact same results as what you're seeing right now. It is, you know, maybe one strategy to try to see if there's a way to for qualifying information to emerge from this process. So I wouldn't discourage the committee from necessarily issuing a fair. What it does is it affords that applicant one more chance before, you know, shifting into, you know, the conversation about possible withdrawal. So I don't think it's, I think it could be worthwhile just to give the applicant one more opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, committee members, if I may,
yes, ma'am.
To expand on what Heidi said, just for a historic reference, I do recall one application where the committee did issue a fair when there was a, with the internship verification, where the same issue resulted, where they said there wasn't a second supervisor. And as it turned out, there was, and the verifier had not understood what was being asked. And so I agree with Heidi that a fair would afford the applicant the opportunity to reassess and make sure on these issues that there wasn't an incorrect understanding.
Excellent. Thank you for that. So
I
Go ahead.
also, Dr. Flint, I'm sorry, I had also noted here, and I'm not sure that this if this would qualify to be part of the fair or not, but on page 37 of the packet, where it states, hold on, let me find it. In the internship training manual guidelines, it says the student must create, so it says if such a manual does not exist at the internship site, the student must create one in cooperation with the internship supervisor. That just sounds strange to me that the intern would create a manual
Right.
with the supervisor. I think it should be already either created or it's the supervisor's responsibility, the site, to have an internship manual.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I had, but I failed to write exactly the page. It was a reference to the DSM-4, and the DSM-4 hasn't been used in quite some time. So that was also of concern. I would have to.
So that would be on internship, I am guessing, because I did not pick up on that. So that
Yeah,
would be from
and on and
2022. Okay.
Yeah, on page, hold on. Yeah, this was on page 38. So on page 38, it's the statement, if such a manual does not exist at the internship site, the student must create one in cooperation with the internship supervisor. That statement is there. It is from Walden University. And then I'm trying to see if I find the reference to the DSM-4 that I wrote down on my notes. I just, for some reason, didn't have the page. So I may have, oh, yeah. Also, so it's on page 38. In the statement of purpose, in the paragraph that starts, this manual will serve as a guide to those graduate students in order to facilitate their learning of their field in which they specialize. The length of the internship will coincide with the requirement of the specific institution. Students are expected to have a working knowledge of the major therapeutic techniques and strategies, a working knowledge of the DSM-4 diagnostic criteria. And so that's where it says the reference to DSM-4. And that is concerning. That sounds incredibly outdated, but I don't know that this is a Walden University document. It looks like, I'm not sure that this is created obviously by the student or the supervisor.
I'm wondering, Dr. Medina, if you feel that those last 2 points, which are accurate and I did not pick up on, so thank you for your eagle eyes, would be more appropriate. I believe we have intent to discuss some of the issues with Walden individuals at a board meeting.
Yeah, sure.
Ms. Pakkinen, would it be appropriate to move those two concerns to the Walden discussion, since it's likely the student had nothing to do with the creation or accuracy? What was your feeling?
So the invitation has been extended to Walden University's super maybe internship coordinator. I don't recall her exact title, but the name of the person that we have consistently observed to be associated, with some responsibility with the internship program. So that's the June 6th meeting. I have not heard back whether they will accept the invitation to attend. What I'm hearing is that you may want to gather information from this applicant and invite the applicant back to a future ARC meeting, and then maybe make that decision relative to, what goes to the board and when. So, this does draw the timeline out, but we are our hope is that Walden does elects to appear before the board on June 6th.
Madam Chair, committee members.
Yes, ma'am.
Just to take note on the record, the written training plan that we're looking at, I think this was for the internship, right? On page 38, if you look at the revision date on this is December 15th, 2008, that this training plan, and it was signed in 2022.
Yes.
So it could be that the supervisor was not making sure that they had an updated training plan. And you know, one of the questions for Walden may be that are they reviewing these training plans in-house at Walden and approving them before the internship starts? Because with a revision date like this, this should have been noted and corrected. So I just thought I'd bring that up as yes. part of the discussion for the with Walden. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. So Dr. Medina, to summarize and just make sure that I've captured everything for the fair letter, we're going to ask the applicant to address the stating the statements that the training plan didn't meet requirements. Is there any additional information there that may alter that answer, or was it misunderstood in some way? The same request on the internship verification about the two staff psychologists, was that misunderstood or is there additional information? Postdoc hours, the deficiency in the one-to-one individual supervision hours, ask for clarification or a corrected postdoc verification form. And then if the applicant has any extra information on the three other issues that we're identifying as perhaps more of a Walden issue, but we'll see if she has any additional ideas or any additional information, would be the manual guidelines about creating it themselves with the supervisor, reference to the DSM-IV and a very old revision of a training plan. And I feel like there was a third. Oh, and the reference mm-hmm. to the DSM-IV.
Mm-hmm.
Does that cover everything that you can, that you have
yeah.
in your notes? Perfect.
Yeah.
Kathy, that was a rather extensive one. Are you okay with the notes on that particular fair?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Perfect. Thank you, ma'am. Okay, so we will move to application 6 in this category, which is Sydney Brown. I do not see them here. They obtained their doctoral degree in clinical psychology from APA-accredited California School of Professional Psychology at Alliant International University on June 25th, 2024. Declaration and attestation questions were completed. There are two references and a self-query form. We have a mixture of pre-internship and internship hours. The one from Psychological Services Center looks like the one-to-one supervision hours are deficient. Let me just run the math really quickly again. 1,012 hours divided by 20, we should have 65.6. My note is that we have 44. Does that align, Dr. Medina, with your notes?
Yes.
So we will issue a fair letter if you agree to clarify if that was an incorrect number reported or whether there was a subset of hours that do meet the criterion for that one-to-one supervision requirement that was contemporaneous. The other pre-internship looks okay, as well as the 2,000 hours from the APA-accredited Rochester Psychology Internship Consortium. Those were all the notes I had on this one. Dr. Medina, did you have any additional?
I did not.
Perfect. All right, would you take the next?
Sure thing. It would be for Dr. Kelsey Beeb. And Dr. Beeb received their doctoral degree from the University of North Texas in August of 2023. It's an APA accredited program. We had a 2,000-hour accredited internship at the VA Commonwealth University Counseling Center. Submitted pre-internship hours, and according to my calculations, all of them did meet criteria. There were 331 hours at the University of North Texas Center for Sports Psychology. They were all completed at the same facility, all the pre-internship hours, it looks like. Then 241, and then another 479 in different terms during the doctoral program. And then, so that totals 1,051 hours in the placement, in pre-internship hours that meet criteria. So a self-query was submitted, references and fingerprint clearance card application were also submitted. So I did not see, have any issues with this application.
I am just doing a quick check, Dr. Medina.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, 1,051. So basically, we are not including the 438.75 hours from the first pre-internship experience because the written training plan did not, apparently did not meet the requirements, and then they didn't need those hours anyway. So is that your understanding? Okay.
Yes.
Perfect.
I tend to look for the, how many hours are missing, how are they met? And then the rest is extra in my head. So
love it. All right.
I didn't mention it.
Okay. So the next one in this section, we'll move on to Dr. Laporte or Laporte perhaps. She received her doctoral degree from the APA accredited Northern Arizona University on October 18th, 2024. Declaration and attestation questions were completed. We have two references and a self-query on file, and the fingerprint clearance card was submitted. Thank you for that, getting ahead of the curve for that. Internship hours and postdoc hours were both submitted. We have APA on contingency accreditation for the internship for 2,000 hours and then another 1,124 at the postdoc. It meets all the criterion as far as, I didn't have anything else noted. Dr. Medina, did you?
I do. I have two things perfect. Noted. The first one is, well, maybe I have three things noted. So for the internship, I know they're saying it's 2,000 hours. However, when you look at how many, they were there for 11 months. And so that was 47 weeks and 5 days. And if, you know, we can only count like 40 hours, but I don't know, that would equal 1920. I know the difference maybe is not that big because it is made up with postdoc hours, but I just wanted to know that discrepancy is just doesn't, but I don't know if an internship is APIC or, you know, an APA accredited, if we don't look at that, at the length and the maximum number of hours per week that can be counted towards that. So that was my concern with the internship. I do have concerns with the postdoc. In the postdoc, there were blank spots in the training plan for the stipend on page 30 of the packet. It was not filled out. I mean, that's fixable. I mean, I assume that's a fair. So those were the two things I had noted on my review of this application. I'm not sure. I mean, even if you count 1920 with the 1124 from postdoc, it's fine. It reaches the 3,000 hour requirement, so it may not warrant, but I don't know how this is, if we address this, or if we have to address it, is since there's an overflow of hours. I don't know if Ms. Folks or Ms. Pakkanen can shed some light into how we've done this in the past.
Miss Folks, hold on just one moment. Dr. or Miss Sapir, could you go off camera? We are seeing all of your gesturing and it is very distracting. Thank you, ma'am. Sorry, Miss Folks, do you have any guidance on Dr. Medina's question?
I think I have a Madam Chair, committee members. I think my question is more for Jean. I don't recall that we have a statute that requires the amount of the stipend written in the postdoc training plan. We know that the rule R4-26-209 subsection C requires that the supervisee is not paid based on productivity and that they be paid by a stipend. But I don't know if it's required in the postdoc training plan.
I am not aware that it is. I do not believe that that has to be disclosed.
Okay. And so I'm not sure if that's an issue. Yeah.
I saw a blank, and so it raised my attention. And so that's why I do know that I've seen training plans that don't have it. And so the reason why it caught my attention was because of it was left blank. And so that is fine.
If the committee wants to, in the fair, you know, if it causes the question of was she paid by stipend, was R426-209 subsection C met, that, you know, the committee may wish to put that in the fair if it's yes. A question.
I would like to put that in the fair, yes, please, just to clarify.
Okay.
I agree. There's been many in recent reviews that have that's been a question. So just a quick clarification is all that would be needed on that. And I agree about the dates. That was a very good catch. It's actually very important for APA accreditation to be mindful of the hours per week that the interns work, and that our regulation, of course, says you can't go over 40, which that time frame would imply, with no days off, that there was more than 40 hours per week counted if we're getting to 2,000 hours. So I'd like a clarification on that. Ms. Folks, did you have any questions about those two requests for the fair?
I do not, Madam Chair. Thank you.
My little notes. All right. Excellent. Now, this next one, I will have you present, Dr. Medina, but I did want to disclose on the record that Dr. Salway is a student, was a student at Midwestern, and I was second honor dissertation. However, I don't believe that there is any issue with proceeding forward, but I did want to acknowledge that.
Yes. Dr. Medina, and I will also, yes, this is also the student, the applicant. I was going to disclose that completed a practicum student at COPA many years ago, but I was not their primary supervisor, so I don't see any conflict with that. So,
and just for the audience, why we're disclosing this is just to have everything be very transparent, but also if either one of us recused, it would go to the board, which is fine. But we're also trying to ensure that we are appropriately moving applications through the process in a timely manner. So just wanted to clarify why that sounded maybe a little different for the people in the audience. Dr. Medina?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Flint. I just wanted to add, and if both Dr. Flint and I both were to recuse, it might pose a little bit of a challenge for the full board to review this case. So we had a very, I think, you know, honest and frank discussion. Does this really affect in any way our perception of this applicant? And it does not. So that's why we make all these statements. Sorry, I think I'm gonna sneeze. Maybe not. Okay. So Dr. Salway received her doctoral degree from Western University in Clinical Psychology, submitted pre-internship hours from Banner University Medical Center and Arcadia Neuropsychology. The hours submitted meet criteria for being included in terms of direct hours and supervision requirements. And then Dr. Selway completed an internship at Bay Pines VA healthcare system that adds to 2,080 hours. So all those hours, and that's a VA accredited internship site. So there were no concerns with that as well. Fingerprint clearance card, two references, and a self-query were all submitted with this application. So I have no concerns with this application.
I agree with you, Dr. Medina. Thank you for that. The next applicant in this section is Dr. Guest. I believe Dr. Guest is here with us. Thank you for being present. Dr. Guest earned their doctorate in counseling psychology from APA-accredited Indiana University on July 26, 2024. There is a certification through 12 of 25 through ASP, which is a sports psychology governing body, I guess you could call it. Declaration and attestation questions were completed. Two references and a self-query were also submitted. We have pre-internship verification hours at two sites over three experiences, totaling over 1,300 hours, and internship from APA-accredited ASU, Arizona State University, for 2,000 hours. I did not see anything that I had questions on, Dr. Medina.
Yeah, no concerns with this application.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Guest, Dr. Guest, for being here. Would you take B11, please?
Certainly. It is for Dr. Martha Lima-Tainen, and this is a reapplication. Dr. Lima-Tainen is applying to take the ESPP for a seventh time, as she was unable to obtain a passing score in her last attempt, which was in June of 2024. Dr. Lima-Tainen obtained a PsyD, a doctoral degree in school psychology from Capella University in March of 2016. A study plan, references, and self-query were all submitted. And I'm just wondering if Dr. Lima-Tainen is here in attendance today. Okay, it doesn't look like it. I sort of wanted to have the same discussion as we had with the other applicant. But given that Dr. Lima-Tainen is not here, probably this one will have to be forwarded to the board, to the full board for review. I will say that Dr. Lima-Tainen was very close to passing. So we're hopeful that this will be, you know, sort of the last time, you know, if approved by the board. But, you know, we cannot inquire what will be different this time and things like that. So
I agree with needing to have that discussion, Dr. Medina, as well. I did have a question regarding accommodations that were requested on test six, but did not appear to be requested in test seven.
I saw
and that healthcare provider certification was done back in 2023. So just as a matter of learning the ropes, do we have a time limitation on healthcare provider recommendations for accommodations? Do they expire and we need a new one after a certain amount of time? What has been the precedence in the past?
I'm not aware that that has been raised. The testing center would typically let us know. But I'm not aware that that is a concern.
Okay. So perhaps if we could invite her, as we're going to forward this one to the board, to clarify whether she does want accommodations again on test seven, as she requested in test six. Right. Because there was no mention of that in the reapplication for this time around.
Madam Chair, this is a, I think, appropriate for a board discussion, but I can confirm we don't have an articulated policy about this issue, but perhaps we need one. So something for, I think, the full board to discuss.
So, Dr. Medina, I am agreeing with the moving that forward to the board. So, did you have any other questions you wanted noted here? Perfect.
No.
All right, we will go on to the 12th application in this category. Dr. Krista Brussel obtained her doctoral degree in counseling psychology from APA-accredited St. Mary's University of Minnesota in 2024. Declaration and attestation questions were completed. Two references and a self-query were received. We have pre-internship hours at two. Sorry, it went across two pages. Let me fix that so I can adequately look at my notes. We have pre-internship hours at three different locations, and then internship verification from Federal Medical Center Fort Worth, which is an APA-accredited internship in the amount of 2,057 hours. Now, on the first two pre-internship, I have a deficiency noted in from McAllister College, deficiency in direct hours and deficiency in the one-to-one supervision hours, and then in the Center for Attention Learning, a deficiency in the one-to-one ratio of supervision hours. Dr. Medina, did you have the same or different notes?
Yes, I do. For McAllister, I had number one, supervision hours not adding up because they had disclosed 65 hours plus 29 hours of total supervision. And then they listed 65 hours as total supervision. And then individual supervision should equal 32 hours, not 21, not 29. As reported. So there was a deficiency in individual counseling hours, but I mean, in individual supervision hours, but also in the addition of those 2 hours in the form that is used to attest. And then, yeah, so the direct hours, and also that the direct hours is not equal 25% hours in direct contact.
And that is for the McAllister College
That is
site,
for the
correct?
McAllister, yes. So the direct hours reported equal 24.4%, not 25%.
All right. So this one sounds like a fair letter as well, requesting clarification on the direct hours and the one-to-one hours on McAllister, requesting clarification on the one-to-one supervision hours at Center for Attention. I think that's it on this one.
Yeah, and then the second place, correct. Yeah, the individual supervision hours are not enough hours because they listed 36 when they need 47.9. Yeah, correct.
Excellent. Miss Folks, is there are there any questions on that, those instructions on that fair letter?
No, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm just stopping at each time to make sure we have the notes so that we can move the motion process through a little bit more quickly. This is a big section. All right, moving on to the next one. Would you take Dr. Harper, please?
Yes, certainly, Dr. Flint. So Dr. Harper received her doctoral degree in counseling psychology from Walden University, completed their internship at Bowalda Psychological Services in May 2024, submitted 1,144 hours at Bowalda for pre-internship from August 2022 to May 2023, plus 2,088 hours of internship that was completed in May 2024. References, fingerprint clearance, and self-query were all submitted. So I don't have any, I didn't, I don't have anything highlighted for this application. It seems to be okay.
I had one question about the core program requirements. The class that is stated to for the very first section about the ethics standard in psychology, That class is not on the transcript for the semester and year, or sorry, quarter and year taken. I do see a relevant course with a different course number, so perhaps it was just an error. Is that something that we would normally request a FAIR to have it corrected, or just note that discrepancy, and since another one does show up in that same quarter, it was likely just a course number error?
Madam Chair, it's up to the committee's discretion if they want to see it as a typo and ask for it to be corrected. And then if it's corrected, contingent on the correction, you approve the application and it'll go on the consent agenda for the board because you see the course in there already.
Yeah.
If that's okay. What the committee would desire.
Okay, so that would be a FAIR letter for that correction. If we receive it, then it will go on the consent agenda.
It would be an informal request for a typo correction rather than a FAIR.
Perfect. Dr. Medina, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that too.
Okay, excellent. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Folks. Appreciate it. All right, the last one in this section. Dr. Boyles received their doctoral degree in counseling psychology from APA-accredited University of Nebraska-Lincoln in August of 24. She holds a provisional mental health practitioner license in Nebraska with no actions. Declaration and attestation questions were completed, two references and a self-query. In this was a FAIR letter. Yes, it's a FAIR letter. There was a request for the supervision logs. And what was instead received was printouts of time to track hours that were not signed. So there's really no documentation that a supervisor approved or not. And hours are only one part of what should be on a supervision log. So I just had a question, Dr. Medina. I'm not sure how you all have handled that in the past. The next issue was the UNL Counseling and Psychology Services pre-internship verification. So there were 5 sites submitted, the second one being at UNL Counseling. These hours fell below threshold, so I kind of removed them from the totals. So with what appears to be congruent with this rule and statute, we have 1,026 hours of pre-internship, and then we have 2,080 hours at the Northern Arizona VA Healthcare System, which is an APA-accredited internship site. I believe that still meets the criterion for the overall hours, but I'm wondering how you feel about the supervision logs and the time to track unsigned logs submitted.
Well, yeah, I don't think, I mean, if we ask for supervision logs, well.
Madam Chair, committee members, Dr. Boyles is present if you wish to ask any questions of her.
Hello, Dr. Boyles. Thank you for pointing that out, Kathy.
Hello.
The time to track hours that were submitted as supervision logs, was that the only documentation of the supervision happening? And do you have anything that was actually signed off and approved by the supervisor?
I didn't have anything signed off and approved besides like our contract for the year that we would have those hours done. I did have my training director return in the pre-internship verification forms, uh-huh. stating that those supervision hours were signed on her side. So those are what I have. We didn't do like weekly signed documentation.
Well, I was going to mention, did your supervisor on site have to log in and also sign your hours?
Not on my time to track.
So the hours you submitted, just so I'm clear, never had a supervisory like stamp of approval. Whatever you entered the school just said that must be what it is.
Yeah, like we would have our time to track signed throughout, like from mid-semester and end of semester, that this is the hours we were obtaining at each section of input.
Was it signed by the supervisor providing supervision for you or signed by the school?
Signed by our school and our supervisor. Actually, I might have those ones as well. So I do have like our midterm evaluations, if that's what you're looking for. I didn't take that as like the supervision logs when I asked Ms. Folks what I needed to turn in for that. And so I do have like mid-semester, end of semester evaluations that were done that show my hours.
Dr. Medina, what is your thought and
Yes. So what I was going to say is in time to track, I've had practicum supervisees. I do have to go in and attest to their hours every week because they send me an email. And I know this because I have to use my like a different email from my work email because my work email doesn't like the time to track. That's why I remember this. And so I do have to attest as a supervisor as to their hours every week. It might be on a monthly, maybe it's not every week, but I do have to attest in there in time to track because I have an account as a supervisor in time to track.
And we didn't have our supervisors have time to track. That was a personal account of the logs that I was using.
So it wasn't your school thing. It wasn't your program correct. Thing. Gosh. So that's why it's different. I understand now.
So we use like Titanium as our like showing what hours we were utilizing in there. And I do not have access to those because they were university, bought for and paid. And so I don't have access to those hours or those logs, I should say.
So then your supervisor then would go into that account and attest your hours, whether it was on a monthly basis, weekly basis. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, I believe so. Within Titanium, just showing that like we were in supervision and like we actually attended supervision with them that week.
Can they attest to your hours in that system?
Yeah. So again, we would have that system and then we would turn in everything for mid-semester and end of semester evaluations that would show those. And so we had the breakdown from our Titanium logs for that site.
Okay. Well, I don't know if Ms. Folks or Ms. Pakkanen recall anything that then has been used to meet the requirement from the fair. Is there something else that could be used to meet the requirement? Or would what was submitted?
Ms. Folks, can you recall us any similar instances? I cannot.
Madam Chair, committee members, Heidi, I'm not sure, but what comes to mind, if it's up to the committee's discretion, but you may wish to ask Dr. Boyles if she can have her supervisor or her school send to us a copy of the supervision logs they were using that the supervisor signed off on. That's my thought. I'm not sure what else, other than maybe evaluation forms. I've seen in the past supervisors who sign on these weekly, sign off on pages that show what the supervision discussion was about, how long that supervision was, and the supervisor signs off on those pages for each supervision session, I guess. Those are the thoughts I have.
And Kathy, just for my understanding, in my mind, a supervision log is the log of the actual event. So de-identified, which patients were, if it was one-to-one or group, how long did it last, who was the supervisor on record, Was it group or individual? Like the log is just not a log of hours. It's the log that the supervision happened contemporaneously on the date and time that it's being said it was. Am I misunderstanding our official definition of a supervision log?
Madam Chair, committee members, my understanding is the same as yours. Historically, that is what the committee and the board have looked for. Often it's in a spreadsheet that has all, you know, in columns and rows, all that information. Sometimes it has come as a, I remember one applicant where we received dozens of pages where, you know, it was the weekly sign off, or if it was 40 hours, it was more than once a week where they were, and it had all that information, but on single sheets, one for each day of supervision.
Dr. Medina, what is your suggestion?
Well, I think at this point, you know, we cannot verify those hours. I mean, I guess there could be another fair issued to where we have the logs. I think that the main issue with those is trying to verify, like, the reason why they were requested, right, is to verify the total hours, because if the total number of hours that were counted only account for the direct hours submitted, it's my understanding, then there would be a deficit of 171.5 hours. So either submitting the, you know, logs or something that can attest to the actual number of hours, including individual supervision hours, or some other source of supervised experience that would meet that criteria. So the applicant can reach the 3,000 hours, because then there is a deficit.
Dr. Boyles, are you, do you have any specific questions about kind of our line of questioning? And do you understand what we're looking for? The hours and the, especially supervision being such an important part of the experience, we have to know that it happened by a licensed supervisor and that it was contemporaneous and all those kind of, it seems like little nuancy things, but they're very important. Do you have any questions for us to clarify now, now that you've heard the discussion about what's going to be requested in that letter?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of confused, to be really honest. Okay. So in this letter, if I don't have, like, we didn't require logs of like each supervision that was met, but if I can go back to my supervisor from that department and speak to that, this is what we both agreed on was like the hours that we met, and go through the hours within Titanium if he still has access to them, and seeing that, can I have like a letter written from him that this is the amount of hours that was supervised and put into this case?
Ms. Galvin, can you give us any guidance on whether that is?
In my experience, logs are, you know, required, and there's, you know, would be up to the committee and the board's discretion. Some things are able to be, you know, recreated, such as a training plan. But in my experience, and Heidi, I don't know if yours is different, but logs are required that were maintained, you know, concurrently with the experience.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Dr. Boyles, I would suggest that you go back to your school and see what documents they have held. Perhaps they have something that you're unaware of, even that could help in this situation, but you will get a second fair letter explaining this. I apologize for kind of continuing to drag this on. However, it is really important part of allowing somebody to be licensed to make sure that you've done the training and had the supervision.
So even though my training director is signing off and saying that these hours did happen and this was there, it's now the issue of the logs.
because the training director wasn't there in the supervision. So that's why normally supervisors do that documentation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you did not, Dr. Boyles, submit a form to your supervisor for their signature every week with the issues that were discussed, either in the previous session or concurrently? I have all my supervisees, some of them complete their notes, and, you know, we go over it in the following supervision, making sure we cover everything from our previous one. And I do have had a few overachievers that do it at the same time that we are meeting, and that's okay. That's concurrent documentation. And they jot down everything that was discussed as we discussed it, and we sign at the end of our supervision, this is what we discuss and this is how long we met. We also keep track of how our supervision was held, whether it was, you know, via teleconference, you know, video and audio, or if it was in person. So you did not fill out logs like that every week?
I'm going to be very honest with you. I remember doing something, but I can't remember fully to the extent. And so I may have them already and just not under like fully remembering them, to be completely honest with you. Having been at a couple sites since then of thinking about how supervision was at each place. And I can go back and talk with my supervisor from that placement and also my school director to see what we might have had. Like I said, I know I have for sure my MIDI vowels and my final evaluations. I'm just not sure where I might have kept the logs of supervision or if they have them specifically.
The other option is to use postdoctoral hours. If you don't have enough pre-internship hours, is to say, well, I'll just use my postdoctoral hours, supervised postdoctoral hours for licensure.
Okay.
See what you can dig up, Dr. Boyles, and we'll go ahead and re-review that. And hopefully we can, you know, piece together what happened with the documentation. Thank you okay. for doing that. Ms. Pekkanen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry to interject, but I need to leave this meeting. I have a 9 o'clock SciPact Executive Board meeting at 9 o'clock. And as the treasurer, I need to be there and do my part. So a little bit of a changing of the guard. Ms. Michelson is here to also support the committee and Kathy. So I will say my goodbyes and my regrets that I have to leave.
Thank you, Ms. Pekkanen.
Thank you, Ms. Pekkanen.
We do have a hard stop at 9, correct, due to another committee? Is that accurate?
We do not.
Okay. But we're
I have the conflict alone, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. All right, so I think we've cleared that up. So in this section, Dr. Medina, I've kept my notes, so I'm going to try and make this a motion.
Good luck, Dr. Flynn.
All right, we are doing fair letters with the information stated in our discussion and clarified with Ms. Folks for B5, B6, B8, B12, and B14. We are doing an informal request for correction of a perceived typo for B13.
Yeah.
B1. 2, 3, 4, 7, 9, 10, and 11. Nope, minus 11. We are doing, they're okay to move forward as is. B11, there are concerns with the reapplication. So that is going to go to full board for review as well. I think I got it. Dr. Medina, do I hear a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. No opposed. Motion carries. I'm again looking at the time and I'm trying to see in section E, is it okay, Jean, to, if there are no concerns on several of the remaining applicants. Can we kind of call out the name and not discuss them each individually? Or is that shortcutting?
You may.
Too drastic. Okay.
You may.
So Dr. Medina, in section E, number 1 and 2, I do not have any questions or concerns. Do you?
I do not.
Okay, so E1 and 2 will move forward with the recommendation to the board for licensure by waiver. We need to discuss Dr. Chamberlain Scott, and I see her here. Mm-hmm. Let me just clear out the other sections here. Section F, requesting approval for licensure by credential. There are 6 applicants there. I am looking through my notes, and I did not have any concerns on those applications. Dr. Medina, did you?
I had marked number 2, which was, so I did not have concerns in number 1, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Okay.
I just wanted to bring up if the committee, there were 4 dismissals reported in that application from previous in issues. And so I just felt that maybe this was an application that maybe the full board, I would feel more comfortable to have the approval of the full board. So they review those dismissals and it's okay. But Ms. Sure. Gavin, is that?
That's within your discretion.
Okay. I agree, Dr. Medina. I felt comfortable with that as well. So the motion for that section is moving forward. Number 1, 3, 4, 5, and 6, with a recommendation to licensure by credential, and then number 2, forward that full application to the board for their consideration.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. With no opposed, motion carries. Section G has 4 applicants. I do not have any notes on any of those, Dr. Medina?
No notes. Okay.
So I'd no. move to move forward to the full board with the recommendation of licensure by universal recognition, G1 through 4, the entire section. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
With no opposed, motion carries. And then section H, I did not have any notes of concern on the telehealth registry applicant. So motion to move forward the approval for telehealth registry for H1. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. With no opposed, motion carries. Okay, let's go back up to E3. This is an application that an extraordinary amount of time has been spent on. And in my read of this, we are still kind of in the same spot we were at fair number 2. The corrected fieldwork plan was submitted. And I guess my question is, why was the correct plan not submitted in the beginning? It just continues to be deficient. We don't know anything more about the sleep and health research study site. So at this point, we can't add in those 83 hours. They still remain deficient. Go ahead, Dr. Medina.
I'm so sorry. I think that applicant has to ignore those hours because it was an option to say, let's not look at those hours.
Okay. So then that means that we are still deficient in the overall meeting of the 3,000 hours because we also cannot use the postdoc hours. Mm. Is that your understanding, Dr. Medina?
I think so. I was a little bit confused. I'm not going to lie.
Dr. Chamberlain Scott, I know you're present. Do you have any additional information that we should be taking into consideration that you did not submit with the third FAIR request?
No additional information. I agree that this has been an exorbitant amount of time spent on the application. You know, when I first submitted the application, there was an issue with the way in which I was paid during my postdoc, which was why it was denied. Essentially, it was like, okay, let's do the pre-doctoral internship hours instead. Although I did provide information from the state of Michigan that doesn't have anything saying that you can't be paid that way here, but it seemed that that was not enough information, I guess, for the board. And so that's why we've gone to the pre-doctoral hours. As for the pre-doctoral hours, though, from the FAIR letter that was recently sent to me, however, it was sent kind of after the point. Looks like I kind of got skipped over. So I did send in that information, though, as soon as I got it. And it sounded like it said you can ignore those hours because you have enough hours, unless I'm misunderstanding how that FAIR letter was read. I certainly have other experiences I could send in. I just didn't feel like I wanted to bombard you guys with all kinds of practicum hours from that pre-doctoral training.
Madam Chair, committee members?
Yes, ma'am.
If I may, the FAIR letter, it seems that everyone was confused by the way this was written, and I will take responsibility for that because it was my wording. Basically, under the information requested under number 3, it says, if the committee determines that all other concerns as noted above are resolved, then Dr. Chamberlain Scott would have had enough hours. But because the documentation for sleep and health research study experience was not received, the number 3 is no longer applicable because there aren't enough hours. So I just wanted to explain that specifically for Dr. Chamberlain Scott. So it's up to the committee's discretion to ask Dr. Chamberlain Scott to submit additional pre-doc hours to meet that requirement, because it is short without the sleep and health research study practicum, if that helps any.
Mm-hmm. And this, yes, correct.
You do have additional hours, Dr. Chamberlain Scott, of the pre-doctoral level?
Yeah, I have other practicum sites I can send in specifically from Canyon Elementary School, where I completed some practicum hours with Duffy Wagman that I could send in.
Okay. So I'm just going to encourage you to ensure that the hours submitted meet the direct hour responsibility of 25%, and that the one-to-one supervision hours are 1 hour of supervision, one-to-one for every 20 hours worked. Or we're kind of going to be in the same spot again. The other two pieces, you keep bringing up Michigan. And while I appreciate that Michigan has different laws, you're not applying in Michigan. You're applying in Arizona. And that's why we need to follow the laws that are here. If you were to get licensed in Michigan, then theoretically, if they didn't require it, then that licensure, you know, would look a little bit different. Each state has different licensure. And just as we're moving forward in the future, I'm just going to ask you, as professional to professional, I think your file is now up to like 150 or 160 pages. So in your response, you said you just referenced back to something that we supposedly already had. Instead of kind of asking the committee to play a Where's Waldo game, it's really important that you're just very, very clear. Include it as an exhibit with your letter of response, so that's very easy to find. I have never in my tenure, short tenure so far, seen a fourth FAIR letter. Maybe there's precedence for that. Maybe there's not. But I'm feeling like this is going to have to be the last review. Like, we've got kind of one more shot to get this right. And so just as a professional to professional, I'd ask you just to be as clear. And, you know, if it's something that's been submitted and we missed it in the literally 1,596 pages that were reviewed for today's meeting, bring it forward so we know exactly what you're talking about. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So, Kathy, we will issue another fare letter with requesting additional hours to make a total of 3,000 hours. And we will see what we're able to review and hopefully be able to move this application along. Are there any questions, Kathy, that you have on that fare letter?
I do not, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. All right. So I would like to move forward, make a motion that the applicant E3 be given a fourth fare letter with a chance to include those hours. Dr. Medina, do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Hearing no opposed, motion carries. Thank you, Dr. Chamberlain Scott, for being here. For future order of business, before we adjourn, let me find what I wrote. You know what? How about I email you? I can't find it in my notes right now. Dr. Medina, did you have anything that you would like to move forward?
I don't know. I don't know.
Madam Chair, committee members, I know yes. that you had with Heidi discussed an articulated policy for accommodations. And
thank you.
My question was, do you want that at the committee or on the board agenda?
Probably the board.
Yeah, we both had this. Yeah, board.
Okay, thank you.
And I did find the other request, the SP01-17, where we talk about the cumulative hours. Maybe it's just my education. I need to have a little bit of review on that. And then, Kathy, we had also spoken about the reference form and that there's several pieces of information on there that are actually not dictated by rule or statute that seem to be tripping people up. And maybe we could look at streamlining that a bit and having it be easier to use.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. I had it noted.
Dr. Saper, I just see you clicking back on again. Is there an order of business that you were here specifically for?
Yes, I was waiting to hear my name, but it sounds like you went through the names for the credentialing. I think I have a license in another state and I applied for, you didn't say names for the different people that were on that list. So
you're not on our agenda.
Madam Chair.
No. It's my last name is Ekstut. Sapir comes is my, it's a, my legal name is Bluma Ekstut.
Oh, so you are G3. Okay. Yes. We moved that application forward.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. And I just wanted to compliment the board. You guys are so efficient. I'm licensed, as you know, in other states, and this has been the most pleasurable licensing process I've ever gone through. So I just wanted to, you know, you guys are great. Good job. Just
that's nice to hear. Thank you very much.
Good try.
All right. Let me go to our other, with all of those things noted and a record meeting, I would like to ask for a motion to adjourn. Dr. Medina?
So move.
Second. All in favor? Aye. Thank you, everyone. We did it.